and bring our a special guest on, and we'll get totally underway with this. I've certainly not known Big John Lipscomb as long as I have heard him. I've heard him a number of places on various radio stations, including I know Alex Jones show. I think I may have heard him on Jeff Rent's show. I'm not sure, but I've heard him different places, and then I had the opportunity to meet him at least by phone. Anyway, I feel like we've talked a number of times. And Big John has been a practicing homesteader and survivalist since 1991, beginning in the mountains of Montana, but he now resides in the Black Oak Forest of southeast Kansas. He has built a self-efficient homestead and lives a simple life based on Henry David Thoreau's classic books, Civil Disobedience and Walden. And also, if I'm not mistaken, he has a radio show called Don't Tread on Me. And perhaps he'll share a little bit about that. But without further ado, I want to welcome to the webinar Big John Lipscomb. Are you there, John? Are you there, John? He was there a minute ago. Hold on, folks. Let me see if I can find out what's happened. Are they hearing? Okay, everyone else is there. Everyone, hold on just a moment. I'm going to go ahead and see what I can do to get. I know he was there. I could see that he was on the call, had called into the moderator line, but we must have lost him. So let me see if I can get him back. Really apologize, folks, but I'll have word in just a moment. Okay, everybody, I think we've got it worked out. I just reached Big John Lipscomb, and we worked out what the technical difficulty was, and I think he's going to be with us momentarily. As I was saying before, at any time, if you have a question for John, if you want to join the conversation that's going on, and you've called into the phone line, then just dial *2 on your phone keypad, and that'll let us know that we need to unmute your line so that you can speak with Big John. The other thing is, if you have come to us by way of the internet and you're listening that way, then just go ahead and type your question into the question box and submit it to us, and we'll make sure that that question is asked. And we certainly do enjoy having a very interactive type of presentation. It works well for everyone. So with that, I want to bring on Big John Lipscomb.
Earl, yes, I finally did connect. I'm sorry about that. I called in on the wrong number. I could hear you guys, but you couldn't hear me.
Oh, great. So great to have you. And, I want to, if you would just tell a little bit more about, about the types of things that you're involved with. And I know you've been a patriot for a while now, and a very dedicated patriot on many different levels. I've heard, as I'd mentioned before, I've heard you on a number of different shows, and always have a lot to share, a lot of good enthusiasm and a real commitment to what you believe in. And that's much, much appreciated. Could you maybe tell us a little bit about the show that you have, Don't Tread on Me?
Yeah, it's kind of a solutions-based show, Earl. I'm kind of a simple guy, and I see the problem, and I just immediately jump to, well, okay, how do we fix this? And the problem we have now, as I see it, is, gosh, it's been going on for a long time, but I think they're hijacking the sovereign nations of the world and going to combine them into one world government. And it's not going to be a pretty sight. I think they're going to, along the way, strip us of all our individuality and our freedoms, and they're hurting everybody just like cattle. And I don't like it one bit. The world's kind of big, and the people running it are pretty big and rich, and I don't know how to change their mind. So the solution has to be, how can I change my situation? And so I, on the show, talk a lot about getting out of debt. I believe debt is the one thing that they have used on the American people to contain them and control them. And then the other thing that I like to preach is just be your own person, have your own beliefs and your own ideas, but be self-sufficient, because the more you can get out of this system, and I refer to it as the beast system, because I believe that it is a beast. It doesn't have a conscience. You're just a number to this world government that they're trying to form. And the more you can detach yourself from it, the freer you're going to be. And one way to do that is to cut your debt ties to it. But the other is to start raising your own food, and be self-sufficient. Get off the grid if you can. Go solar if you want. You know, I think all their green, ventures is just smoke and mirrors. It's all talk. They really don't want you to detach from the electric grid. That wouldn't do them any good in controlling you. I've got a little 5-acre homestead here in southeast Kansas, and we live a pretty simple life, and I just try to share my experiences and the things that that have worked for me with everybody else, and try to inspire them to take that step and escape the beast.
Well, I'm looking at your website now, that patriotfood.com, and it's interesting because it says world government is coming. Are you prepared? And patriots prepare, slaves hesitate. And you're so right. I mean, if if we're not self-sufficient, if we're dependent, then it's very easy to control, because, you know, if what we're used to having available to us is limited or even shut off, then we're going to be really scrambling and trying to figure out what we can do to make sure that things get turned back on for us.
Oh, absolutely, Earl. You're going to, what we're really, you're mentioning is right, perfectly right, is where you're going to have no options. If you don't know how to grow a garden, if you don't have any chickens and rabbits and you don't have that knowledge to be able to do that, what are your options when they cut it all off? Because they are going to cut it off. I'm one that believes they're trying to collapse the American economy, because we're like dominoes now. Everybody is linked, and economically, and if they can take us down, they'll take the entire world down. And then you're going to have starvation. We're going to see it here in the United States. Now, the reason why they haven't been able to do it is because people that are listening to this webinar and the people that listen to my show every night are resilient, tough people, and they get up and they go to work every day, and they don't quit. And that is the thorn in the side of the New World Order. Because they're trying to bring this down so that they can replace it with one world government and a one world's currency, which will eventually be a cashless society. But they need suffering to happen in that transition so that everybody runs to them for the solution. And their solution isn't going to be what you're going to want. But if you don't have seeds, if you don't have heirloom seeds, if you don't have dehydrated food, what is your option after the first week? It is to just raise your white flag and do whatever you're told. And that might be to get on a bus and go to a FEMA camp and be tattooed. You don't know what they're going to do. You're going to surrender everything at that point. So there's a lot of answers. You need water solutions. It's taken me a long time to get to where I am, where I feel comfortable in any situation, no matter how bad it gets, whether we have civil war or I have to go into survival mode, or just like right now, being independent. I have no debt. I haven't had any debt since 1991. I live on a cash basis. So I've been a lot freer than most people, but we got to give ourselves options, and if you don't have the knowledge, the skills, and the food, the water, the tools, then you're not going to have any option whatsoever when this goes down, and I think it's coming pretty quick.
Well, you know, the elite, as I'm sure you well know, have been very adept at being able to employ what I call problem, reaction, solution. They know if certain problems exist, which they can in fact help make sure exist and get accentuated, they know what kind of reaction people will have, and in fact can even fan the flames of those reactions, because they want to put a particular solution or solutions in place that give them more power, take away a lot of our freedoms and liberties, and make us more dependent. So I hear you saying, you know, pretty much that, and those are really wise words to remind us that we need to become as self-sufficient as possible, as self-empowered as humanly possible.
Yes, so, you know, Earl, that brings up a thought of mine that I remember being up in Montana. We didn't have electricity or running water for nearly the entire decade. And so we were really out there and raised our own food and all. But I would every once in a while get some batteries, and I would put it in a radio, usually a shortwave radio, but sometimes AM, FM. And I remember hearing a guy named Rush Limbaugh telling everybody that NAFTA was the solution for this country. And then later he preached GATT. And I'll tell you, a lot of good people got fooled on that. But where are we now? We have almost no manufacturing in this country. So now that we have spent all our money buying everybody else's stuff, we're going bankrupt because we don't make it here anymore, just like the country song says. And we got to be careful of who we're listening to. And that's why I really respect Republic Magazine, because I've been reading you guys for a while now, and I really value the articles and your stance. And it's very clear where you guys are standing. And I try to do the same thing, which is, you know, just share what I see out there. But a lot of disinformation, though. You got to be really careful.
It really is. In fact, you mentioned Rush Limbaugh, and there's a number of others that are what I call gatekeepers. They're gatekeepers on the right and gatekeepers on the left, and what they basically do is contain the conversation so that it only goes so far, and they gradually sell their faction that they speak to and represent, supposedly, quote, on certain ideas to move the agenda forward continually. And I consider Rush Limbaugh a classic example of that. He's no friend of the Patriot or the Libertarian or the Constitutionalist or whatever you want to call us folks that believe in freedom of choice and constitutional life. But we do have a couple of questions that have come in. If you don't mind, maybe we'll just jump right in and
sure.
Take questions. We've got Jim Borland in Columbus, I guess that's Mississippi. Big John, being out there in those Black Hills, you have to climb up on a higher limb to get reception. There must be a joke or something. Anyway, Dan St. Hubert, bless you and all. Do you think with all this human awareness now, we can begin to move forward and finally take back our power? And if so, the House of Cards should crumble very soon.
You want to comment on that? Yeah, that is a fantastic statement and question. I agree. I have for a year and a half since I've been doing Don't Tread on Me radio show, I have been getting 200 to 300 emails a day. And I get about 10 to 15 letters, handwritten letters, Earl. What a throwback that is, of patriots. And I have a real good sense of what the good people in this country are thinking and how they're feeling. And I can, without hesitation, tell you that over the last few months, there has been a shift. People are saying that their peers at work and their family that used to think they were just a kook, a tin hat wearing nutter, conspiracy nut, whatever that they thought, they're now listening to this, and this is huge. This is our moment of that game, you know, whether it's a football or a basketball, where the momentum changes and it shifts, and we have this opportunity to push back hard. And I think we really need to take advantage of it and not be so passive and so polite. I try to tell my listeners, stop being so polite. This is the fight for your soul. This is the fight for your children and your grandchildren's future. Are they going to be free or are they going to be slaves? And that should inspire anybody to do something. That they're not, it's not comfortable. I'm the last guy that should be on the radio. But I believe this is the end unless we win. And I don't want to look back and have the burden for the rest of my eternal life thinking, I sure should have stood up. I sure should have done something. And I don't want to have, you know, any reserve in the tank when I'm done. So I get out there and I do whatever I can, and I also try to be an example, that you can live without television. We haven't had television since 1991. I come across TV and doing the show, I'm on the internet, so I gather news there, and I see a little bit here and there. And I still can't figure out why anybody's watching that stuff. but we got there. He's exactly right. There is a shift going on right now, and we got to really be confident and push back real hard.
You know, it's such blatant programming and that goes on, like you said, through the media. I really hear you too on as far as what we. You know, what we see through the media is just unbelievable. It's so hypnotic for people, and they just sit there and take it in. But you're right. I think we're seeing more people wake up faster than ever. I can't believe some of the guests I'm seeing on some of the major networks and the hardcore stuff they're saying. I mean, laying it out, and they're not just trying to make a mincemeat. They're actually letting them talk and letting them get it out and express it. So
yes, like Ron Paul. I mean, look at the impact Ron Paul has made. And you're right. Others, Gerald Celente. My goodness, that guy has woke up a million people just on his own, telling it how he sees it. And
that's pretty good too.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And so we all have a role to play. And just because it's not comfortable doesn't mean that you shouldn't be doing it. But if nothing else, I just want to encourage people to prepare. If you don't have preparations, you're really in a pickle. And this thing is could very well collapse this whole economy. And we got to have food. We got to have seeds in case. You know, I sell the heirloom seeds at survivalistseeds.com. And I do that because that's long term, but it's also homesteading. If you can raise your own food, folks, and we're talking healthy food, it tastes better, it feels better. We're not supposed to be buying food at a grocery store that comes 2,500 miles from somewhere else. That's not how it's supposed to do. And making corporations super wealthy. We're supposed to be growing a lot of our own food, and it's just getting back to the basics. And I tell you, Earl, I think that with this unemployment, we're at 10%. It's not looking good, and the answer is not to just go on welfare.
Right. It really isn't. I don't know if you've been following it at all, but kind of as a follow up to the amount of information that's getting out there. Have you been seeing any of the Jesse Ventura conspiracy theory issues that come on every Wednesday evening on True TV?
Yes, I have caught two of them that I got sent to me on the internet, and I watched them. The most recent one that I saw, I think, was last week's, and it was about the elite, it was about the Bilderbergers, mostly, controlling the world.
Yes, they've covered a number of issues. I think they started off with HAARP, the HAARP project, and what that's about. And then they did 9/11. And I'm trying to remember what they did. They did something, and then they did the one you're talking about. And tonight they're going to have MK Ultra. I mean, these are some these are not light subjects. They're really touching on some pretty big stuff. I'm just amazed because in the past, something like that would have been pulled. Some phone calls would have been made, and they'd have said that's going to stop, and it would have stopped. But for some reason, it just keeps going, I guess, because there's such a groundswell of demand for it, people just clamoring to watch it, and they realize that, you know, they can't just totally ignore that. And it does bring in money. Because the advertisers are going to advertise with popular programs that are sizzling hot. So that money will talk as well.
Absolutely. And I think that show is terrific, and it's good TV. I think it's over on True Channel or True TV. But Jesse Ventura does a great job. He's the perfect host for that show. I think it's perfect to wake up the clones. I think everything they're going over, most of the Patriots already know, but it is nice to see that. I guess the ratings are really good, so hopefully it continues. I think it will.
Yeah, it's a little sensational. And of course, I know why he does that, because that that sort of sells. It makes it sizzling and red hot to people.
Yeah.
It's a little dramatic for me, but.
Yeah, I'm a pretty simple guy. It's a little over top for me. But, you know, to get the clones' attention, these people that are just clueless out there, they just in the herd, going towards the slaughterhouse, you really have to sensationalize the TV or whatever you say to get their attention. Otherwise, they won't hear a thing.
That's certainly true. Well, I want to remind everyone that we're speaking with Big John Lipscomb, and you know, we're talking about a number of things. And I know that this was originally indicated that it was going to be talking about how to prepare for what's getting ready to hit us. And maybe we'll even go into just a little bit more about how John sees things playing out. I know no one has the crystal ball and he can give exact timelines and all that, but maybe in general. But before we do that, I want to invite everyone to join the conversation. And if you've called in on the conference bridge line, then just go ahead and dial *2 on your phone keypad. And we'll know that you have a question and make sure that your line's unmuted so that you can speak with Big John. If you're online and hearing this by the way of the Internet, then just type your question in the question box there and hit submit and send that over to us, and we'll be sure that the question gets answered. We have a question from Helen in Richmond. And Helen asks, what to do with our cash, around $150,000, besides under the mattress? Have already bought most needed supplies.
Well, good for her that she's mostly prepared. I'm not a financial advisor, but anybody can see how they're devaluing the dollar, and they're doing it rapidly. And how they're doing it is they're just printing money like crazy, and it's going to catch up with us. And so that $150,000, whether it's in the mattress or the bank, is going to probably continue to decline in value to where it has almost no value whatsoever. And then if they do introduce a new global currency, they're probably going to, you're going to have to cough up, you know, a lot of value on your dollars there. It's probably going to be a two-for-one thing, and that's going to upset a lot of people. But these people that are pulling the strings can't control themselves. They're so greedy, they have to make money at every turn. So they'll have to make profit on this global currency that they're going to bring out. And I think that is one of the things that we're going to see pretty soon. Even if we're winning this thing, as it appears we are, people are waking up, they're starting to get angry, that's going to cause the elite behind that curtain to probably overreact and try to pull the levers and make this thing collapse even faster than it is. But if you're ready for the collapse and you're ready for this fight for your freedom, then it shouldn't be that big of a deal.
Yeah, it could be a really wild ride. It definitely could. There's somebody that and it doesn't have a name or any, where they're from or anything. It's kind of more anonymous, but they... And I'm not sure if it's sent before they finished their message or what they meant by this, but they just said they did global warming. So I don't know if whoever this was, if I'm not sure we understand it. And if there's more you want to say, then just send the message over again, and maybe we can address it, unless John wants to say something in regards to global warming.
Well, there is a little bit of evidence that they're controlling the weather, and that could be through HARP, also chemtrails. But I got to tell you that we used to get chemtrails out here, out in the middle of nowhere, folks. I live in the least populated county in Kansas. It's also the poorest. I moved here because of those two things. And we used to get chemtrail grids over us every day, just like everybody else. This is worldwide. And I think it was to control the weather, and in conjunction with HARP. Now, I will tell you that as far as where I'm at, and I have asked my listeners on the show, and they agree that the same has happened with them, that the chemtrail spraying has been cut by 80%. maybe more. I would say that I look up daily and several times, and have since 1998. When I was up in Montana, I noticed it. So 11 years I've been watching this stuff. But it has tailed off so much, Earl, that it is almost rare now to have chemtrails being sprayed on the sky here in southeast Kansas. So, and for whatever reason, maybe it's coincidence or maybe it's real, but this, I talked to two old-timers from this area yesterday, and they're both ranchers, and they said that this is the old-time winters that we're having now for the first time in a decade, they said, because we've got 9 inches of snow, and it is really cold. It's 5 degrees, and it's been below 20 for a couple of weeks, and they said this is how winter used to be over a decade ago. So I think that the chemtrails are probably tied to the global warming, and that's probably what he was referring to.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. We've got a couple of people that are on the phone line that have a question, I'm sure. We have Robert in South Deerfield, Massachusetts. I've unmuted you. Are you there, Robert?
I'm here.
Oh, great. Okay. Do you have a question?
Well, mainly a statement. I don't know if the speaker has listened to any Wayne Dyer tapes, but he speaks in his latest release of Excuses Be Gone, and I recommend that to everyone, of something called memes. They're mind viruses, and what they are viruses of the mind. Just like a computer virus, it's something that you assume to be true that's been told to you by your politicians, by your teachers, by your religious leaders, by your patriot seminar leaders, and you accept it as being true, but it really isn't. So I'm simply wanting to let everyone know that they should really look into these things called memes. And actually examine all the things that you're being told by these various groups of people as being true and examine them for what they are.
Any comments on that?
It's kind of interesting. I am not familiar with Wayne Dyer's stuff. I've seen the man here and there. But he seems very intelligent and philosophic. It's kind of interesting. You might go over to – I did a similar show last night on GCN Live and RinceRadio.com and nearly 200 AM stations around the country. And it was just about that very thing. I think we're talking about the same thing, that we have to be a little more skeptical even of the conspiracies that are floating around, because it's dangerous to jump on board of any one thing. But it's over at donttreadonme.tv, and you can just pull up last night's show or any other show and listen to it. It goes up there about 12 hours after airing live at RinceRadio.com and GCN Live. And I talk about a very similar way of thinking.
Excellent.
Great. Anything else, guys? Robert?
Excellent.
Hey, thanks, Robert.
Thanks so much. Okay, and then we have, let's see, we have Edwin in Red Hook, New York. I've just unmuted your line. Are you there, Edward?
Yeah.
Edwin?
Can you hear me?
Sure can.
No, I was wondering whether you knew anything about a new thing that I just discovered, a fellow by the name of Walter J. Burien. Burien. He talks about the CATR, Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, which the government apparently has instituted since the 1940s, the lawyers and the people in control. They have a kind of two sets of businesses for all of governments, small governments, county government, town government, school boards, everything else. and they don't keep track of the money that they take in as cash, or they keep it for a year and then they transfer it into a fund sort of thing, and they just keep it growing a little bit. And apparently they've got over $61 trillion, I guess. And they're trying to return this to the people, the taxpayers, because it's really taxpayer money. And there's a lot of people every know about it, but nobody keeps, because everybody's in on the take, apparently, nobody wants to know about it. Have you heard of such a thing?
Yes, Edward. I have come across that gentleman on YouTube, and I watched his entire series. He seemed very credible. And if you've been around this conspiracy patriot movement long enough, it's easy to buy into anything, because these guys are some big crooks that are running the world. These politicians,
well,
and all
think
of
the whole world is. In fact, one of my standpoints. I'm a retired dentist, actually, and I had a professor once who told us that half of what you're learning about dentistry today is not correct. But our big problem is we don't know which half. And I've sort of had that philosophy, and I think that's a good philosophy to have, basically.
That's sensational. I'm writing it down right now. I'm going to share that with my listeners. I thought I was going to teach you guys something, and now I'm the one taking notes. This CATR,
Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. It's attached. Apparently you can go into any library and ask for it, and it's given. Banks know, everybody knows about it. But so many people are apparently on the take that they don't say much about it, because it's been going on since 1940, and the lawyers and the powers that be have let it go, but they keep track of it, but it just never gets into the budget, when that's what people look at when they report it. And anyhow, I don't, it sounds reasonable.
Yeah, it does. And one thing that kind of fits is how the school system always needs more money, and they raise your property taxes constantly, and they still don't have the books or the paint, or, you know, they need a new gymnasium. There's never any money there.
That's right. But apparently when they make money, say they put on a play or something, the money that they make gets transferred into a fund before that year is out, and so it doesn't appear on the books as having made money, apparently.
Wow. Well, I think he's that gentleman's going to be on Coast to Coast radio
tonight.
Show. Yeah.
He's going to be on tonight at midnight. And people can look it up, Coast to Coast, because it's rebroadcast, but it's something that people should take a look at, I think, because if more people knew about this, it might, because it has a chance that they could run this whole government, because there's trillions of dollars, because it's little counties, school boards. They all keep their books this way, and it's somebody makes money in these small communities all over the world.
Well, now, if it's true, I tell you what that means to me. I'm a simple guy. That means that I need to take to task my local representatives, because if it's all the way down to the local level, they're in on this too.
That's exactly true. That's what I'm trying to find out myself, and I'm not doing too well.
Yeah. Well, it's always so complicated, isn't it, Edward? I mean, I don't think I'm a stupid guy, but these guys have been conniving against our sovereignty and our pocketbooks for generations, and waking up to it is not easy. But
I've been looking at stuff on they've got an Air Force computer guy or bookkeeper or something that has shown a lot of these things, and apparently he says you got to go. Well, anyhow, you should take a look at Walter J. Bryan. Look it up and look at some of that stuff and listen to Coast tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for the call, Edward.
Okay.
Yes. It was awesome.
You know, one of the things that I was thinking from what the caller before this one said, I kept trying to think what it reminded me of, I flash back on an interview that I was hearing of a speaker that speaks on, has done immense research and speaks on what's going on in the world and what we're facing, and talks about the elite and how they work their agenda. And he said, you know, oftentimes he gets ridiculed and he gets accused of being negative, and people will say, well, why do you put this out? You're just creating that thought form, and you're feeding that and giving it energy. And he said, well, the interviewer, he said to them, he said, well, you know, I'm facing you, and I can look behind you and say, let's say that I see a tornado coming towards your back, and yet I don't tell you because I don't want to be negative. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, you know, get into negative things or feed that type of energy. So I don't tell you, and then it hits. And you ask me, well, why didn't you warn me? And then I relate that versus if I tell you that it's behind you and it's headed this way, you can take evasive action and everything's fine. He said, that's basically what I'm doing. I'm aiding people to become informed so they can take the action that they need to deal with something. So I don't know if that's where he was going with it, whether it's that constant struggle that we have between people who say, well, don't be negative, don't feed this stuff. Is it really true and all of that? I say don't fear no information.
Yeah.
Information is, you know, if we use our discernment, we can know what the truth is, and then we can take whatever action's appropriate.
Yeah,
but you don't want to get too negative. You don't want to get just so, you know, into the downward spiral or slant that you're just no good to yourself or anyone.
Oh, absolutely, and that's why I try to do the solutions. You know, I mean, it would be easy for me just to be a seed salesman, folks. You know, but I first have gone out for almost two decades and raised my own food and tried to be self sufficient. I could just sit up here and tell everybody else what to do, but I've tried to live it as an example, and then share my experiences and try to inspire people to kind of follow along. And in the last year and a half, I've just had, I don't know how many, but it's dozens and dozens of people tell me that they have switched over to homesteading or they are in the transition of doing it. And that feels good to me because I know being responsible for most of your own food and how you think and how you live, yeah, feels right. And you don't know how restricted your life is until you break free. People have slowly fallen into this serfdom nearly, and they don't realize how it's gobbled up everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We have Annette in Chesterfield, Virginia, and I'm not sure exactly, she's saying, pushback how? ? As individuals, you can't do as much as in groups or communities. How do you get involved with others who have your same values and motives? They want us divided, easier to control. She must be talking about what we were talking about before, about them controlling.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of thoughts I have on that. If you are just one, then you're going to have to do it on your own. Sure, it's not as effective as having 22 people go down to the courthouse or the county meeting and setting those people straight. But it is a start. And if you set yourself out in front, you will be surprised how many other people will stand in line behind you because they're thinking the same thing. They're just waiting for somebody to do it first. And I found that out many times over the last couple of decades. When I went out front, put my neck on the line, I had a whole bunch of people backing me up. So sometimes you do have to do it alone first. We are effective as a group, but folks, if you think, now this is one of the great deceptions in my mind, if you think that we need to build a consensus of 51% in order to change things, one is it's never going to happen. Two, you are being fooled. You're fooling yourself. This is not a popularity contest. This is a war about freedom. And the struggle is between that and slavery and life and death. And if you're going to try to just wait until we get the majority, it's not going to happen. Everything in life has always been done by the minority. The Revolutionary War was fought by 5 to 7% of the people in this country at that time. It's always 5-10%. So trying to go 50% is just a waste, and you're just going to keep sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting for someone else to save you. And it's time that we all get up and we start voicing our own opinions about things and show that we're angry, because we should be angry. This is, if you're not going to get angry about people conniving and stealing your freedom, then I guess nothing's going to upset you.
Yeah, I think we've seen that in different things, like some of these town hall meetings and things like that, where someone will get up and speak and challenge something, and the people will jump to their feet and give a standing ovation. They're shocked, like, all these people are with me.
Yeah.
You know, just waiting for somebody to say these things and make these statements and take this stand, and that courageousness does come through. You're absolutely right. We have Sonny in Cadiz, Kentucky. What effect do you think Continental Congress 2009 is going to have?
Okay, I've never tried to be popular, folks. I just say things that I believe. The answer from me, and I can be wrong, I've been wrong before, is absolutely nothing. It's not going to change a thing. It is one tool. And so am I against it? Heavens no. I'm all for it. Ask me for a donation on it, I'll send it. Ask me to write an article or promote it on the radio, I will do it. I'm all for it, but I don't think that's how we win this thing. We win this thing by taking individual action in our own life and be an example yourself. If everybody was completely prepared for whatever's coming, and I think it's a dire time that we're facing, they would have a lot more confidence standing up and going forward. But people feel small and insignificant when they do not have individual power and they haven't got their ducks in a row. They're not prepared for a hard time. And I think that getting your food preparations, a lot of people are making the mistake, Earl, of thinking that if we have an economic collapse, that it's going to be like what they saw on TV with Katrina, that it's a week or two, and you're not going to be able to shower, and you're going to get a little hungry, and you're going to be a little thirsty, and you might get the flu afterwards or something, but that's the end of it, that somebody's going to come in and make everything okay. That's not how this is going to happen. This is, if this thing implodes, this economy completely collapses as they're trying to make it happen, you're probably not going to have electricity for a decade. You're going to run out of gas in a week or a month. And unless you're, you know, on the enemy side, the enemy of freedom, you're not going to be allowed to have gas. So you're going to have to, it's going to be completely different. How are you going to get through the first year? Do you have dehydrated food? Do you have canned food stored up? Your grandparents did, and your great-grandparents. It was just the way the man in the family took care of his family. He prepared for tough times, whether it was a flood or a civil war or anything like that. But now everybody's used to government, you know, just taking care of everything. But the government never really solves anything, does it? It just creates more problems. And it takes a guy gets on the underwear bomber. He doesn't even he doesn't even blow anything up. And now all of a sudden Americans are subjected to even more humiliation by the body scanners. Even if you buy the 9/11 wasn't an inside job by the New World Order, and that it really was just a couple of guys from the Middle East, then how do you explain how you lost all your freedom due to the Patriot Act? I mean, how does a couple of guys fly a plane in and you lose your freedom? It's just absolutely ridiculous that this is going on and people are so tolerant of it. But I really think that if they thought long-term food solution with growing your own food, stocking up dehydrated food and canned food, having a water solution, Earl, and having hand tools, manual tools, shovels and picks and stuff like that, and then get knowledge of how to raise and try to start. Even in a suburb, you can get a couple of chickens and a rabbit hutch started, and start doing your animal husbandry and raising your own animals. We have goats and, of course, our heirloom garden, and rabbits and chickens, and we've got horses. And it's all in preparation, and a turkey, all in preparation of these hard times. So I'm very confident of being able to take care of my family. I don't think a lot of people could say the same thing.
Mm. You've done very well with that. We've got Roman in Knox, Indiana. Has anyone heard of the death of the dollars with the creation of the Golfo as the currency for oil trade? This brings the end very near. Also, the UN has announced it will be minting its own currency in gold and silver. I haven't heard of those things. Have you?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, I guess we can't really
comment
on it. There's a lot of information out there.
Yeah.
We've got John in Phoenix. They're controlling the weather. Is he serious, or are they controlling the data on the weather? Just joined. So he must have come in and just caught the tail end of that. Did you want to comment? I think we were relating to HAARP.
Yeah. It seems to, just from my 11 years of watching the chemtrails and the weather pattern, it seems like they're probably doing both. They're probably controlling the weather somewhat, not like what they want, I'm sure. They want total control. These people are control freaks. But are they controlling the data? Sure, I'm sure they are. But if they could, you know, there's articles in there and stuff that you can find where they have outlined a long time ago that they wanted to control the weather, the Pentagon. And those guys are not our friends, folks. The Pentagon. I think there's good people in the military, and I think actually the reason why the New World Order does not pull the final lever and try to enslave everybody is because they fear the 5% patriots that are in this country, and about half the military. Because half the military are not going to stand for an unconstitutional government and a world government. They will not tolerate it. So that's what keeps these guys from going all the way.
Yeah, I think on that weather modification of that whole issue, that the first conspiracy theory episode, Jesse Ventura handled covered that pretty well. The one thing you could do if you want to know more about that is put in the Google, like HAARP, HAARP, weather modification, or HAARP Alaska, whichever, and I think a lot will come up. Or you can go to conspiracytheoryjesseventura.com, and I think all the episodes are there, and it would be episode one. So if they have a particular interest in that. Anyway, we'll move on. Katie and Ashland, good afternoon. For the first time in my life, and I am 56, I fear the future. I'm doing what I can to stockpile non-perishable food and will be planting my first garden this spring. My question is this: what about those of us who do not own our land? I have a farm in the country, but it is mortgaged, and I do not have the wherewithal to pay it off. Any suggestions? I am late to the show and apologize if this has been addressed. Thank you.
That's a great question Katie has. You know, that's just her situation. I mean, it's unfortunate that she didn't see this earlier and do as I did, which is 5 acres, you know, and pay cash for it. My annual taxes is $50. So I'm sitting pretty good. She's in a different situation, but I will tell her this and everybody else that when this thing, if it does completely collapse the world economy, me owning my 5 acres isn't going to mean anything. It's a piece of paper that's suddenly invalid, and her not owning her farm doesn't mean anything. You're going to, whatever you can defend, folks, is what you're going to own. And things might be pretty challenging for the first few months if we do go to, you know, a complete breakdown of society. But not saying that it is going to go there, but it could. And I think the New World Order hopes that it does, because then that will give them an excuse to bring in the UN troops and try to, you know, really do a lockdown police state. However, I think they will be so overwhelmed and outnumbered that they won't be able to pull that off. I mean, they can't even keep things in control in Iraq or Afghanistan or Vietnam or wherever they've gone. They haven't been able to do it with all their technology and all their men. I mean, think about it. We went to war on a lie over there in Iraq, and we had 100 nations. How has that worked out for all that technology and those trillions of dollars? It hasn't done so well because they were fighting against people that were fighting for everything. Keep that in mind.
Yes, absolutely. We have a guest on the phone that is actually anonymous, so I don't know who it is, but if you speak up, you're the only one that's holding on that line right now. So are you there, guest? Do you have a question? It just says anonymous, and they've indicated that they have a question. So if you say something, guest, we'll hear you.
Me?
Okay, there you are. Do you have a question or comment?
I tend to think his idea, I've listened to his show often, I think his idea of cocooning is wrong. It requires a duality approach.
Okay, go ahead and explain yourself.
Hear me?
Yes, we hear you. Go ahead. Explain. He asked if you would explain yourself. He didn't understand what you meant.
Requires a duality of approach. You have to go after the individuals involved who are the front men and remove them from office. If it requires you running for office yourself, you run for office yourself. If it requires you running for sheriff, you run for sheriff. You do whatever you can to gum up the works of what they're doing. If you don't, your cocooning concept will be a self-fulfilling prophecy, allowing them to take over.
So, okay, let me counter that with this: I understand your analogy, but you're supporting a beast system that is the problem. They've built this system of institutions and laws. We've got 60 million laws on the books at the Library of Congress. So they have built this system that men, congressmen, senators, they are plugged in every few years, and it just keeps going. If you insert yourself into that system, nothing is going to change because you're just one. Now, if we all replace them, then great. But we just had a bunch of Democrats run here a few years ago and try to replace the Bush regime, right? How far did they get? Absolutely nowhere. It was an anti-war thing, and the war is still going. They've just increased it. So I disagree.
That's what I'm saying. If you take it for an example, if you're in California, and many other states have the same capability of putting a Prop 10 on an amendment, 10th Amendment proposition on the ballot, pass it with teeth in it rather than the garbage they're putting out right now. You can escrow all of the federal funds that's supposed to go to the federal government into the state coffers, state bank coffers. From the state bank coffers, you then invest in the local state. You just see an explosion here in California, particularly, of growth because they have to invest their money here by state charter. So as a result, you would starve out the beast. You then do an eminent domain to try and remove all of the federal property from the state by eminent domain.
Okay. It sounds like you got a great plan. A couple of things. Do you have Do you have more information that we can get and digest this? Do you have a blog, a website, something like that?
No.
Okay.
Okay. If you look at the 10th Amendment Initiative put out by Mountjoy in 84 in California, it's still on the web.
Okay.
You can go to Tennessee and do the same thing. Illinois had the same thing. But they still didn't have adequate teeth in it. You have to be able to escrow all of the federal funds and eliminate unfunded mandates.
You
then take, instead of you getting back 45 cents on a dollar from the federal government, in California particularly, you would get back 100%.
Hmm.
By eliminating the federal income tax, you do the same thing.
Yes, yes. Do you think that the powers that are in control are going to allow you to make that move?
Would tie it up in courts for a time, and they would try to eliminate the individuals involved, I expect, by special ops.
Right.
In my opinion, I'd be happy to be a participant or a leader in that movement.
Well, I tell you what, I don't know enough of what you're talking about to disagree fully, but I would love to have you on my radio show.
At the front for quite a while in California and Illinois.
Okay. Hey, well,
I have a question. Your initials are RW, right?
Correct.
Okay. Do you want me to put you in touch with Big John outside of this call? I know you probably don't want to give your contact information out here unless you do, but I'll be glad to facilitate that if you want to go on his show or talk to him further.
Talk to him individually further, but the idea of cocooning, the Christians tried that back in the 30s after SCOPs, and it was a self-defeating effect. You know, you're about to have the same thing happen here.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call.
Great. Appreciate that. All right. And then we have, it looks like that Edwin maybe has something else. So, Edwin, are you there?
Yeah. You're the anonymous guy, he's talking about if you return the taxes. That's what Burian has talked about. If you return all of that money that the government has, it's in accounts right now, available, basically. But if you can get the people that are scamming it right off, I think it's something to really take a look at. Look at this guy's program, because that's what he's talking about. If you can get that money back, that tax money that has been taken from us illegally, but now get it returned to us so that nobody has to pay any income tax from future on in, boy, I mean, there you are.
Yeah, yeah, that CATR system, if that's what he's talking about, I'm on board with it. I tell you, I disagree with the idea that we are not to take individual action and be self-sufficient.
I agree with you. You have,
responsible
everybody
for
do,
our own.
I prepared for a bomb shelter years ago, and
yeah,
and I put in a diesel generator and buried some oil for to run that diesel generator for over a year.
Yeah,
and so I'm prepared for some of this stuff, but I tell you, people aren't prepared and they aren't aware of what's going on. I don't know if you know what's his name, Art Robinson, out in Ontario. I mean, in Oregon.
No, I don't know him.
He worked for Linus Pauling, ran his laboratory. That's another scam is the pharmaceutical industry, because we know the cure for cancer and coronary disease, but nobody will let that information out.
Yeah. Yeah, they really control all that sort of stuff, but we do have access to a lot of information with the internet. And I was all against the internet when I first came out of Montana, but I slowly adjusted, because it started to be taken over by people that were interested in making the world better.
But you've got to take it as a grain or with a grain of rye,
yeah,
of salt, because all of it isn't all there. But
yeah,
there's a lot of information out there that's very valuable, but you've got to learn how to weigh it.
Absolutely, very true.
Well, thanks so much, Edwin. Appreciate that. Anything else real quick, or was that pretty much it?
Well, okay. There's another little remedy. There's something called sodium chlorite, which is a home remedy that should be in everybody's medicine cabinet if you're going to talk about that, because I don't know if you know what that is. It's a stabilized oxygen. Sodium chlorite.
Okay, I'm writing it down. No, I'm not familiar with it.
Well, what it is, it's something it's available in pharmacies now. If you ask for stabilized oxygen, it's used for purifying water and for purifying water systems and that sort of stuff. But if you mix sodium chlorite with a little acid, lemon juice or lime juice, it creates a gas called chlorine dioxide. Chlorine dioxide is a very potent antioxidant. It kills all kinds of pathologic bacteria. It would put the pharmaceutical people out of business. If they could control this little substance, they would try their damnedest. But the guy's hiding out in Africa, I think, right now. But fellow by the name of Jim Humble. Take a look up Jim Humble and sodium chloride. Sodium chloride, IDE, is salt. Sodium chlorite, ITE, is the stuff you want to look up on the computer.
Oh, okay.
Sodium chloride and Jim Humble, because Jim Humble kind of brought it to the forefront about 5 years ago.
Fantastic. That and lemon juice. Okay. Thank you.
Right.
Great. Appreciate that. Okay. Have a good day, Edwin. Let's move back to, we have more questions that are on the internet. I did want to mention also, John, this might be, first of all, I want to ask you, I know we're just a little bit over the hour. There are more questions, but if you have other commitments or you need to go, then that's fine. Or if you want to stay on a little bit longer, what's your situation?
I've got about 15 minutes, and then I've got to go.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll try to get through as many questions as possible. But
okay.
Right now, I think if you would you give out your contact information so that everyone can capture that information and check things out further?
Oh, absolutely. They can email me at BigJohnLipscomb, and that is LipscomB at gmail.com. And they can get all the information, including daily news stories. I've got a blog also. If they go to my don'ttreadonme.tv website, and of course, from there they can find my radio show, my blog, and also our heirloom seeds and dehydrated food, all that they might be interested in.
Okay, and do you archive your shows?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so they can find a number of a good bit of information there.
Yeah.
We have Alan Hampton in Russellville, Arkansas. Is there anything we the people can do to reverse the trend and save America? I think you touched on that, but
yeah.
If there's anything else you want to say there, then that. Let's see. Weather Girl, Fort Worth, Texas. I have studied meteorology and must comment on chemtrails. Chemtrails that you see are at 30,000 feet. I agree it could be possible that chemicals are being released. However, it makes no sense to release them at that level. It would make more sense to release them at around the same level crop dusters operate. I'm with you on the other issues. However, the current chemtrail hype is just not meteorologically possible. Any comment on that? I don't know.
I think there. I have early on, many years ago, I looked into the patent for spraying the entire planet with a dust oxide, aluminum oxide, I believe it was, in order to control climate. So I think she ought to look into that direction, because there is some evidence that at least some scientists thought it was possible.
Okay. All right. And then, what is the basis of John's independent income stream? That was Earl in Albany.
Well, my income stream is we have it fluctuates from 7 to 10% profit margin on all our businesses. So we have an heirloom seed business, that's survivalistseeds.com, and our dehydrated food and our canned meat business is at patriotfood.com. And that's our income stream. We have since grown over the past year and a half, and I also have an alternative transportation system, which is called StriderRides.com. And we just take bicycles and put 80cc engines on them, and we get 120 miles per gallon, and we do about 45 miles an hour on them. So if you want inexpensive transportation, then you might check that out. But, yeah, that's our business for the most part.
Well, you know, as I'm looking right now at our latest issue of Republic Magazine, issue number 17, you're on the back cover of the StriderRides that you were just talking about, that alternative energy issue, and it fit right in so perfectly with that. And then I believe that you're, if I'm not mistaken, you're on the inside front cover of the upcoming issue number 18, the North American Union issue. You know, certainly you're a major supporter of our efforts, and we appreciate that, and we're so glad to be able to work together on things. Let's see, Jim Borland in Columbus, Mississippi says, don't you think we are plagued with an inability to establish a consensus and that those may be judgments upon us?
No, I think the judgments upon us are going to be on what we did as individuals. As far as consensus, I just don't buy into the majority. It's all what we do. What have you done to make the world better? What have you done to maintain the freedom and safety of your own family? I think it's more of an individual basis.
Okay. And Jim also says, don't you think we are plagued with an – oh, wait a minute. No, that's a repeat. It looks like this repeated in here. John Galligan and Lillian, you keep on mentioning those people wanting to control things. Who are those people?
Well, one thing is they're very good at keeping the identity secret, but it's you know, there are books out there that name the people. These are kings and queens of the earth, they're global bankers, the Rothschilds, all of them. They're people that you're not going to meet, that's for sure.
The Rockefellers, the different people of that nature, some of the major power brokers on the planet, many of them are not in the forefront, in like an office or a very public figure. They're kind of behind the so-called throne or the positions of power. Because those people put out front are just puppets. At least that's the way I see it.
Yep.
That's kind of what you're saying, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Sonny and Cadiz, don't you think that when millions of people unite peaceably and hold the government accountable, that will have a better effect than a lot of individuals just taking care of themselves? Maybe you should watch more TV. No matter what you have, if people get desperate, they will simply take yours. Well, I don't know. Any comment on that?
Yeah, it sounds pretty idiotic. If you wanna do this peacefully and walk down there and ask politely, then have at it. I've just seen, you know, watch 9/11. These people aren't easy to deal with, and they don't respect you because you're so meek and polite. So I just think it's ridiculous to think that way.
Okay. Let's see. Let me just get to where this next question was. We have Helen in Richmond. What happens when the military and police come for your guns and food?
I shoot them.
Simply said. Okay. Enough said. Earl in Albany, isn't the biggest problem the Federal Reserve Board? What about ending the Fed?
Yeah, we need to do it all. But, you know, I have looked into a lot of conspiracies, and I never really drag them out individually and stuff, because what I've noticed is there's a lot of legitimate evidence to show that the Catholic Church is the main player. And then if you look a little around the corner, you'll see it's the Zionists. You look around at another corner and it's the CIA. You look around another corner and it's Rothschild. You look, they're just everywhere. And so one of them is the Federal Reserve. But it's not the only thing. This thing is so big, it's the entire structure, and that's why I refer to it as the beast system. And I tell you, you're either going to have to kill it, or you're going to have to starve it to death. And by letting them pull the plug on the world economy, and you taking care of yourself, and you just out survive it.
Okay, we've got Roman in Knox, Indiana. Says, now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of our country. I've heard of that. I'm doing my part with the help of the Civil Rights Council of America to take on this highly unconstitutional family court system in my country. I got horror stories of my own, and I hear that this is one of the reasons for high suicide rates in our armed forces. I'm not a lawyer and really do not enjoy being among these crooks. I've chased electrons around all my life and am happy doing that, but I realize that this is one of the front lines of the battle over the Republic, and have reinstated my oath on Oath Keepers to battle with these carpetbaggers. They are destroying the family through their criminal behaviors in these kangaroo court systems. Peace and light to all. I would say on that just something that reminds me of is that we're going to be doing an issue specifically with that theme about the criminal court system, the whole family thing, what's going on legally, the abuse and everything that's happening there through the system. So stay tuned for that. And did you have a comment on any of that?
Other than I respect that person very much. We all got to do something. Or we should be doing something, and that's what he's doing. And if he ever needs someone to have his back, get a hold of me.
Great. He also says, and he must have missed early on, because I'd mentioned that you've been very involved with the Alex Jones show. He says, has John heard of the Alex Jones show, a true patriot and source of up-to-date information on the state of this country? Absolutely. Yeah, you have been very involved there. In fact, I think that's where I first became aware of you. And then Dan in St. Hubert says, can you please spell Mr. Humble's name, sodium chloride? I thought he said it was sodium chlorite, R-I-T-E. Is that what he said it was?
Yes, yes, sodium chlorite. And I did not get the spelling of the gentleman's name, but it was sodium chlorite, and lemon juice creates an antioxidant.
Yeah, maybe they could put in into a search engine sodium chlorite, R-I-T-E, and then maybe the word humble, and see what comes up. Maybe it would come up that way. I really don't know. Let's see. I think we're close to the end of your time that you have available with us, and I really appreciate it. What I wanted to do is, if you might think just for a second while I mention a couple of things, if there is something that you had wanted to mention or final comment that you might have, and we'll certainly facilitate that here in just a second. We do have, I think, and I need to make this really quick because, Edwin, you've come in twice, but if you have something just really fast, go ahead.
H-U-M-B-L-E, humble.
Okay, that was what it was, and we were right. It was R-I-T-E at the end, right?
That's right, chloride. That's right. That's right.
Okay, great. Thanks for that. I appreciate it, all your help. Okay, and I just wanted to let everybody know that the recording of this webinar will be posted shortly after it ends now in just a moment, and you can find it at republicmagazine.com/webinar, and you'll also find a full menu library of past webinars on every topic. And as a matter of fact, we have one, I think, if I remember right, it was a couple of months ago that, John, you came on with us, and that we have that archived there too. So you can scroll down to the close to the bottom of the first page, and find also that particular conversation that we had that day, which was similar, and yet there were some different things covered there that you may want to hear also. And certainly join us tomorrow. We're going to have we're going to take a look at, with Igor Malevsky, a way to, in 2010, to get out of debt, do it very quickly and easily, to establish perfect credit, and to actually just erase the debt that you have, and to do it all in a very legal, orderly manner. And, you know, you may want to stay tuned for that. Igor is going to share quite a few tips that are very practical and applicable. So we hope to see everybody tomorrow for that. And with that, John, if there's some final comments that maybe you wanted to share with us, now would be a good time for that, and any contact information once again also.
Okay. Let me just give up my radio website. It is don'ttreadonme.tv, and you can reach me pretty much anyway from there. The email is bigjohnlipscomb@gmail.com. I'm on Rinse Radio live at 7 to 9 p.m. Central, and GCNlive.com at 9 to 11 p.m. Central. And the parting words for me is that we need to take responsibility for this situation. We can't just sit back on the couch and watch it happen, watch it unfold like a TV show. We're a part of this, and we got to fix it. And whatever it is that you can do, you need to do. And one thing you got to do is you got to take care of your own family and understand that if this thing completely collapses, it's going to be a long time coming back. And so you need to have those answers to take care of your family. I've really enjoyed it, Earl, once again. And I will be tuning in tomorrow on the webinar to listen to that. And I'll share that webinar with everybody listening to my show tonight, because there are a lot of people that have debt. And if they could get themselves free of that, that would be absolutely fantastic.
Great. Well, I appreciate you. And, even while we're speaking, more questions came in. So I know there's a lot of demand for what you have to share. So, you know, we'll keep in touch and certainly have you visit with us again down the road a little bit. And I wish you really well with the rest of your day, as I do everyone else. Thank you very much, John, and we'll see everybody tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, Earl.
Okay. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.